The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Mick Molloy.
Oh, Mick, I'm sorry to have to get you up this early.
This is an outrage. I've got my hard hat on, though. I'm back in the haunted studio. I'm falling for that again.
It is haunted, and we're going to have you up on your Milo tin stilts before the end of this hour. Greg Fleet has promised to come in with a special 100th show wrap, and we'll be asking, have you had a brush with Mick Molloy?
That could get out of hand, you know that. Are we vetoing those calls?
We will be. We'll be Mercedes-Benz vetoing them. And I understand the Prime Minister has recorded a special message for us.
Gee, you fellas are good. I mean, Tony, it's enormously improved from what it was. It's balanced, it's stable, it's outrageous, provocative, and all of the other things that one can say. It's been widely applauded, and it's a lot better than what it was.
That's ZZ Top, sharp-dressed man here at Get This on Triple M. It must be a 100th show, because we wouldn't normally play ZZ Top.
Well, no, it's a special occasion.
Hey, Mick Molloy's here. Give him a round.
I can't believe it. You got to 100 shows before I did.
How do we do that?
You guys work way too hard. I think I've got 2 weeks coming next week.
It's much too early for you, Mick.
It is indeed.
I heard you the other day going off on your show, but where were you, in Canberra?
In Canberra, yes. I was out in some Unabomber shed in the middle of nowhere. There was livestock running around.
That is a night. What is that? Whenever they drive you, it feels like you're being taken out to the Miller's Crossing.
Oh, it's more Wolf Creek, I reckon. Bit of Island of Dr. Moreau thrown in. There was wildlife running around I'd never seen before. What is that?
And
Osterio are running a slumlord out in Canberra. Seriously.
And obviously no spirit level in the studio.
I'm not joking. Our chairs, of course, are on rollers, and if you let go of the side of the table, you would just, like, disappear from the microphone. Basically, it's terrible.
The slope, live from the sloping studio. Sounded like Rue was having to cling to the wall.
He was hanging from the roof at one stage.
Now, what have you been doing? So you're getting around promoting Boytown.
Promoting Boytown, which is a movie of mine. I've gotten a bit of trouble.
Really?
Well, you know that movie 237?
Yes.
Right, it's about suicide. Well, the director was running around telling everyone that apparently it was real and based on his experience with suicide.
He apparently killed himself years
ago. That's right. Well, I've been telling people I used to be in a boy band. And I think it's all about to blow up.
Really? I think the first photo from Boytown appeared in the Sydney Morning Herald. I had people calling from all over going, what is Mick wearing? The big shorts.
That's all something I just pulled out of the bottom drawer, Tony.
You know what it is? It's somebody who's put some clothes on that where you need to not be upstaged by Glenn Robbins. I think that's what that is.
That's it. And good luck. You're on your own there.
And so what kind of circuit are you on? I mean, obviously, we don't want to over-sizzle the film yet. It's not out till October.
It's October. Let's put it on simmer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be doing my lap around Australia, hocking my box, right, which will happen, I reckon, from early October, telling filthy lies about the quality of my own picture. I think that's how it works.
Look, I've seen it. It's pretty funny. And it's
in it. Well, of course you've seen it. You're in it.
The music, I hadn't heard it with the full, you know, music up to 11 sound mix.
I know, it's frightening, isn't it?
Is there an album? Is there going to be an album?
There is. There's one coming out. I'm trying to get it onto the playlist, but I'm not having much luck. I've been to see the station manager. Mate, it's not cutting through. Seriously, they smack addicts out in the suburb aren't going to go for this. That's our target audience.
That's what they're saying now.
There is going to be a CD. You know Gareth Skinner. He did all the music, and it's a triumph. If you like the genre... Or if you don't, you'll enjoy the wicked spin we've put on the boy band Oeuvre. The hard thing about that film was actually researching it. No, rehearsing, or let's not get onto that, was researching it, because you used to forget, like, that you had all these boy band DVDs lying around. Yeah, I had eight of my friends in my front room watching footy on a Friday night when it went very quiet mysteriously. I'm going, what's the deal with this? And I look over, and there's a stack of about 6 Backstreet Boy DVDs sitting on my coffee table. I'm going, no, 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 I can explain.
It's work-related.
Don't go, come back. Come back. I love the footy.
I went round to your place one day, and you had the documentary Hangin' Tough with the New Kids on.
People think we've gone too far in our retrospective of the 1980s version of boy bands, but let me tell you, We've calmed our hair down since those boys. They are they're licensed weapons, their haircuts.
It's going to be a great film. And then on the DVD, I'm working on some Easter eggs.
You're working on some Easter eggs and another little package which is going to go off.
There's a treat for Howard Jones fans if they look hard enough on the DVD. But that's miles away.
Sure.
Hey, we had Gilbo in here yesterday, Russell Gilbert.
Did you get a word in?
Not really. He's pretty funny.
He's a great bloke.
When he gets into his leprechaun impressions, and within an hour of us talking about him as a leprechaun cop and Ned Kelly with a super soaker, someone had done a beautiful painting of exactly that and put it up on our website. There you go.
That is the ugliest leprechaun I've ever seen.
If you go to the Get This website, there is Russell Gilbert as a leprechaun cop. Artwork by Frogman. Thank you, Frogman.
I want to see that leprechaun do some cigarette tricks.
Gilbo does do a few cigarette tricks.
He does some of the best I've seen.
Now, you live with him for, what, 4 years?
I lived with him for 4 years. It was a very dark time.
I remember quite a few incidents. He was getting around in the underpants a fair bit.
He was in the underpants. One of the more interesting, one of the reasons we split up was I tried to break into our house one day because I'd left my key. And it was on the second floor. And as I came in through his bedroom window, he came at me with a vacuum cleaner pipe. And hit me backwards off the windowsill onto the ground. And as I was lying there on my back, I said, "That's the first time you've picked up the vacuum in 3.5 years, Gilbert."
I tell you, when the vacuum needed to come out of that place,
yes,
was when Gilbo had got a bit of talcum powder, wiped it down the underpants, and done his impression of AC/DC appearing on Countdown with Flashpots of Go-Go.
No, and he don't even do it when you had people around.
I know guests.
He would wander out of the bedroom in his underpants. "G'day, fellas, what's going on here?" "Nothing." And out would come a most beautiful plume of baby powder.
Flashpot Central. All right, Mick, it seems that you're up to speed. Do you want to stick around with us? We've got some look, it's almost This Is Your Life for you.
Who's in today?
We've got Peter Grace is dropping by.
Gracie, yeah. Mick. Well, this is his old studio.
It's his old desk, that is it. Right here in the haunted studio. It's pretty creepy. Watch out.
I don't like it anymore. Turn the lights back up.
There's a theremin loose in here somewhere. Greg Fleet is going to do a bit of...
I was having a laugh the other day. You know what? I had a little tear in the eye. It was taking me back when Fleety turned up late.
Yeah.
Reminded me of the old Martin Malloy days. Fleety's coming in today. Right, this will be interesting. We used to take bets. Do you reckon he'll be in before the end of the hour? Half hour, I reckon.
I don't think he ever showed up.
There was a day where he didn't. Him and Paul Hester, I think, were the only two artists who, on any occasion, never showed up.
That's right. It's a matter of pride.
That's right.
But, you know, we are going to have a few flashbacks. I think, is this something with when Lawrence Loon came in? All right, here we go. People requested this. We'll meet you on the other side. Hey, watching the news last night, and do you love it when they have to cross over to the war in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many satellite links that they have, like, a really long gap.
Well, it's quite long
between the newsreader. Have a listen to how long the gaps are getting on the Channel 10 news.
We cross live now to Alessio Vinci, CNN's correspondent in Beirut. I might add here that there is a slight delay in this satellite link. But Alessio, what is Israel targeting today? And do you know why they've specifically chosen those targets?
I don't know. Well, we woke up this morning to the sounds of loud explosion.
That's forever.
It sounded like he didn't know the answer.
Yeah. He was Googling it really quickly.
But, you know, that's just space that's going to waste.
Yeah.
You know, imagine all those gaps if you added them all up. Don't you think they should be selling advertising in those spaces?
Cha-ching. Now we're talking.
That'd be a great sound.
Alessio, what is Israel targeting today? And do you know why they've specifically chosen those targets?
Gentamine. Rated M. Now showing in cinemas everywhere.
I don't know. Well, we woke up this morning to the sounds of loud explosions that have been pounding now for several days. There's not much else.
How is the civilian population coping with the continuing bombardment?
A bit more traffic perhaps today, Monday morning. But this is an area of Beirut where usually you have thousands of people in the streets going about their business, traffic jams. We're not seeing anything of that today.
Any evidence yet of the international community starting these mass evacuations we've been speaking of?
Hey, mobile phone buyers, don't waste your time shopping around for great deals and offers. Call Crazy John on 13-22-99.
Yes, we have seen already a lot of Europeans especially leaving this country.
Oh, sorry, I forgot we had a flashback harp installed in the studio.
Very good. I like Mal's attempt to say the word specifically. That's a Well, I'm still getting over. We've got an ad in the between the S and the P.
What about the sales department? They're writing that idea down.
That's it. Nothing for erectile dysfunction, I notice. I was watching, I think it was, what was it, the show about women on Monday nights, what do you call that one?
Oh.
Don't pretend you don't watch it.
What is it? What
are you? Desperate Housewives. And I was noticing they have a lot of women's ads and all women's hygiene ads and all that. And I said, that's so typical. That helps you target the audience. And so then I came in and I'm listening to Tough Love in the breaks and there's an ad for erectile dysfunction. Hang on a second. What are you saying here?
Well, if it's Ian Turpie saying it, it's apparently a lie.
Well, no, apparently his moustache was very bristly. Very stiff.
Because of the nasal stiffy spray. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'll get this. Eskimo Joe here at Get This on Triple M. Mick Molloy is here. It's our 100th show. And
present.
I've just got to thank Matt Dow, who builds all the sketches for our show and for your show, Elements, Production Elements.
When he's not working on the Dow Hour of Power.
What is the Dow Hour of Power?
I was up in the Brisbane doing a show from Brisbane last week. And, of course, that's his old stomping ground.
Yeah.
And out it came. There's a couple of blokes there who know everything about that guy. Apparently, his first radio show was a little show he used to run out of his bedroom.
Is that right?
BCFM. BC, of course, standing for Beresford Crescent. Where Mad Dog used to get on and do his stuff.
We've got to get it. Is there tapes of that?
Mad Dog, yeah, there are, but he won't cough them up. I know Dower has them. The Dower Tower of Power is available. I think we've got to go through his wife, his new wife,
Katie,
who works here. I think if we attack her, we'll get some.
Right, because Maddie, I mean, that thing we just played with the harp before, I think he had, you know, he had 45 seconds to get a 40-second bit into the computer.
Yeah. He's not bad at all. He's like a mad scientist in the laboratory, that
but
man.
He does do voiceovers. And I'll go around there to production, and he hits record, and then he runs into the booth and does them himself. And whenever I walk in, he just stops. He won't let me hear them.
He's a bit like Howard Hughes. You know, he bottles his own urine in that studio.
Does he
I'm
just?
Telling you, he does.
Hey, he's got a flashback harp installed for the 100th show. Hmm. And we made a prediction recently. Lockie Hume was in here. You know Lockie.
Oh, I do indeed.
You've worked with him on two movies now.
I have indeed, and he's good in both of them, let me tell you.
We made a prediction about that film about the Falconio murder. Let's just hear it. Don't you reckon that guy Richard Carter is going to be Bradley Murdoch? He's a lookalike.
And Richard, I know you're listening somewhere.
Yeah.
Get on to your agent, give him a call, let him know that the role of Bradley John Murdoch is out there.
Yeah, and if that one's gone, the bookworm is still available.
No, Richard's more of a King Tut kind of a guy.
Sorry, we tried to get Lockie one of the other Batman villains because he didn't get the Joker.
That's right, he was down to the last three, wasn't he?
He was.
That's just...
It was him, Paul Bettany, and...
Laurie Oakes.
I think it was. He'd be a good penguin.
Great penguin.
But apparently...
He'd have to tone down the waddle.
That's a good waddle. It's an angry waddle.
That's right.
Richard Carter is, in fact, playing Bradley John Murdoch. And we guess that based solely on lookalikes. Because you're
right.
You love doing the lookalikes, Mick.
I certainly do.
I love lookalikes.
Mm.
You know the best way to play lookalikes at the moment? World Poker Tour.
Okay.
You put on the World Poker Tour, and the idea is by the first ad break, you got to get a lookalike for everyone around the table. Yeah. A few drinks helps, obviously. Yeah.
Do you know how they all work on their poker disguise? You know they work on a bit of a poker disguise.
The Unabomber?
The Unabomber, you've got a bit. You know who I'd go on as?
Who?
Roy Orbison. I'd just have the Roy Orbison wig and the glasses. And they'd be going, oh, what's the big O thinking? What's the big O sitting on? Because there was a guy who did look like he was in the police witness protection scheme.
At all times.
At all times, seriously.
He had a falling out with the Bee Gees back in the 70s. With some ugliness.
Yeah.
Let's have another round of applause as the parade of guests continues. Peter Grace, the first man to speak on this network ever in 1980.
Hey, Mick. Hey, Tone.
Hey.
Good to see you again. And congratulations, Tone, on the 100 shows.
Thank you, Gracie.
You've kept yourself tidy.
Yes.
Look at you.
And, Mick, I'm looking forward to the movie. Did you see the story in this paper this morning about somebody releasing the snakes in the theatre in America where Snakes in the Plane was? What sort of promotional thing would you like released in your...
Oh, good Lord.
Screaming women hurling underpants at the screen.
That would
be nice.
See, lucky those guys weren't going to a screening of Moby Dick. And they have to get a massive whale.
That could be done.
They're going to sneak that in.
Oh, kids, they can do anything.
In a giant popcorn.
They'd use YouTube somehow.
I wonder if in Kenny they're going to release air freshener halfway through the...
That would be a good idea.
Hey, are you playing some clip on YouTube at the moment on your show?
We are. We played one on Any Given Sunday, which for Melbourne listeners will understand what I'm talking about. Mm. It's a little sports show on the Sunday. But we found a fantastic clip of a policeman, of a drunk in a police station. Just type in police drunk and go to it. And go past my section, and you'll eventually get to footage, the funniest footage I've ever seen of a bloke trying to pretend not to be drunk in a police studio.
Because what are we linking to at the moment, Ed, on our side?
So far we've got table tennis, and we've got some nice little cats, and then the other one is, piñata accidents.
Piñata accidents. Piñata accidents gone wrong.
We've got to get drunk cop up there.
Sure.
Yeah. But Peter Grace, last time you were here, you mentioned some sketch that I couldn't remember doing on Martin Malloy. It was Mick getting around on what?
Milo tin shoes. Ooh. And we had to go and record the sound effect, of course, along with other sound effects we recorded. But it was just one of those challenges. We need Mick walking around on Milo tin shoes.
Why were you walking around on Milo tin shoes? Year four of the show, I'm guessing.
It was late in the day. We needed a sketch. I don't know. I can't tell you the truth. I think it was something for the ladies.
Right. I can't remember either. But Gracie's brought it in, so let's have a listen.
Hi guys, Mick Malloy here. Did you know I used to be just like you? Awkward, shy, uneasy with the babes. That's when I decided to strap two Milo tins to the bottom of my feet. Now, as you can see, I'm a dead set stud muffin. Check me out. Now when I cruise down the street, heads are sure to turn, and the ladies, well, they just go weak at the knees. Right, girls?
Hey, check out the big knob on the Milo tins.
Later, girls. In fact, when I see a girl I really like, I don't even give her my number. I poke a small hole in one of the tins just large enough to leave a telltale trail of Milo that will lead any horny nymphette straight to my door. Hey, who's looking at you, girls?
A big dick standing on Milo tins as far as I can see.
She wants me bad. Even when the ladies mentally undress me as I saunter down the street, they leave the Milo tins on. The very same Milo tins they'd like to be tucking under the end of their bed before they offer themselves completely to the raw, untamed sex god who climbed down off them. Hey, Sweet Pea, want to get amongst some Milo tins? Just another love-struck damsel attempting to curry my favour by leaving her scent. Right now, thanks to these Milo tins, I'm like a Pied Piper for penthouse pets who can survive for months at a time on absolutely nothing but the occasional Milo sandwich. If you get my drift. Oh, hello, girls.
Are they Milo tins?
You can look, but you can't touch. So, gents, if you're a little down on quality time between the sheets, go for a rummage through the pantry and find yourself a couple of derelict Milo tins, lash them to your feet and watch the fish jump into the boat. And if you'd really like to make it a lay-down mazair with the ladies, strap some cereal boxes to your arms, an ice cream container to your head, tie a tablecloth round your neck like a cape and jump off the roof of your parents' garage. Then just kick back and let the babes impale themselves on you with their undying affection. Don't believe me? Check it out.
Oh, look at that sad bastard.
Liz, I haven't realised until now, but I think I'm a lesbian.
Me too.
Me too.
Let's go have sex.
Yeah.
Cool, let's go.
That's got their juices flowing.
Oh, dear. Oh, thank you. The studio audience is way too kind.
That was Sansia, our old assistant, Sansia Robinson. Mm. And every sketch you seem to try and get her to be involved in some lesbian activity.
That's right. She had more orgasms on our show than she's had in real life. You know, I must be running out of ideas because I came up with a sketch the other day on Tough Love called Ovaltine Tin Shoes.
Not as good, though?
Not quite as good. The ladies weren't quite as impressed.
Well, look, we want to find out if you out there have had a brush with Mick Malloy, this plus...
I've prepared another little flashback for you, Mick.
Oh, good Lord.
Where we've been hearing sketches.
Yes.
And some wonderful stuff from Martin and Malloy, which was compulsive listening. Yes. Compulsory. Everyone listened to it every day. But we haven't heard anything about the music. So the shock jock Richard Marsland and I have trawled through the archives to find your favourite song from back in the Martin Malloy days, Mick. Let's hear it.
That'll be next, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you just got to sizzle it up here.
Because
now they're wondering.
Give me a little something. Is it Ace of
Base? Maybe.
What is it?
Is it that the Total Eclipse of the Heart with
maybe.
The disco music
album? Maybe. The ketchup song?
Maybe.
Oh, the Macarena.
Could be.
Don't start. We'll find out next.
Get this.
This has lasted longer than probably anyone expected.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
Hey, it's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. We applied a week ago. In writing, we went through the proper channels. We said, can we play our theme song, Hate to Say I Told You So, by The Hives?
Yep.
No.
No.
The answer came back no.
Doesn't fit.
Then, Mick Malloy's with us.
How did it come back? In one of those shoots, like in Brazil?
Yes.
So it's like Brazil. We've applied, rolled it up and sent it down the chute.
Down the tube, onto our desk. No, a big fat no. Then, we're joking the other day on the show. We're joking. We're saying, oh, remember what we used to have to play on Martin Malloy? We had to play wall-to-wall LaBouche.
Yes.
And then Ed's gone, oh, hey, if you want to hear LaBouche, email in and we're all having a laugh. Same bloke who said we can't play The Hives has gone, but you can play LaBouche if you want.
Right, and his pants caught fire at that moment, did they? What happened?
So now, listeners, for your listening pleasure,
oh, good Lord.
We take you back to the world of semi-French disco.
I'm happy to take a trip down memory lane, but you didn't tell me you're going to pull out LaBouche. This is insanity.
Mick wouldn't have showed up if he known it was LaBouche.
Good Lord.
And let's after that, M People and Ace of Base. It's all coming up. I'll get this. Thank goodness for the voice of Tough Love.
I didn't know he was in today, but LaBouche have flushed him out.
How's that? We can play LaBouche, we can't play The Hives.
The memories.
I know I'm an old guy, but when I started at Triple M, the logo was a winged demon with a guitar.
Those were the days.
Now a Frenchman with a synthesizer.
It is
on
our
panpipes.
It's our 100th show. Mick Malloy is here, the first man to ever speak on this network. Peter Grace is.
Hello.
And now a fake round of applause for our. Well, I added up the numbers, Ed, and our most frequent co-host. It's Greg Fleece.
There he comes.
Yep,
that's right. And I would have brought in a baguette had I known it was a LaBouche zone.
How's it going, Greg? I mean, it's years since myself and me and Mick and Matt Quatermain were in a show called The Show With No Name.
I forgot all about that.
Which it was an ironic title, because it was actually the name of the show.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a head-scratcher for the audience. Pity it wasn't a hand-clapper or a laugher, but it was a head-scratcher.
It had a parody of the Green Acres theme in it, though, so what can you ask for?
Did it? It was topical then. What was that? What, I can't remember.
You actually wrote it.
What was it?
Tony Martin song. I can't remember what it was about. But
no, that was Jesus Christ Was a Man.
On a
Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone.
David Boone was a man. That was the big finale.
No, but it was also dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I just remember the beginning of it.
On Cape Fear.
Cape Fear is
the place to be. That's right. It was a musical version of Cape Fear. Yeah. Let me tell you the story of a man named Katie.
Yeah, starring Hugh Jackman, I believe.
He can do it all.
I don't know if you're aware of Greg's rapping skills.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whenever he's
under wraps.
When he comes in, he likes to bust out the crunk.
Yeah, the deep southern crunk. And I thought because it's 100 show, I'd bring in something special. I thought, hey, bring in a cake and some balloons. Whoa, get away from that grassy knoll, you edgy loner. Then I thought, maybe I'd bring you in an imitation German pistol or a Chad Kruger, as I like to call it, the rhyming slang for Luger. But, I thought, no, I'd just kick it with Dr. MD and myself and just, you know, kick back with some deep southern crunk.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's especially for our 100th show.
Oh, yeah. Check it.
Let's hear it.
Yo, this is going out to Tony and Ed and the Get This crew. Check it out. I'm Greg Fleet. I'm MCG. That's F to the L to the EET. If comedy was Dutch, then I'd be from Holland. Spread the comic pollen like a BLOG blog. I'm a cog in the wheel. You got bubkus? How you think that I feel? It's a war called the cavalry. To the right sits my main man, Ed Cavalry. He'll freak you out because he's young. You're a wowser. But underneath, it's my belief. You'll get relief that he's Bowser. It's fortuitous. His next bit is gratuitous.
Tony stacks gherkins. He makes a pickle stack. Loves a tower of condiments, but don't love Nickelback. As I get to the end of his stanza, Tony Martin is the boss. He's not like Hoss in Bonanza, more like Tony Danza. Or the king of Tanzania. Let me make it clear. Know a lot about that nation. The capital is Dar es Salaam. For your information, according to my sister, who loves yoga, respect to Otto Vista, the coach of Togo. So it goes, coke and hose, Dom Perignon flows. How many shows? Count your toes, my friend. Multiply the number by 10. Respect to Camus, Charles Bear, Jack from on the buses. Peace and love to the listeners. Boomy plums out. Out.
Oh, very good.
I've never heard a song that references Camus, Charles Dance,
and Jack from on the buses.
Jack from on the buses.
What a blancmange.
And how did you get the Nickelback? I was
good. I was on a pickle stack.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you saw that one coming.
I'm just picturing Greg with a rhyming dictionary going, Nickelback's not in here.
Well, that was actually their second choice on the name of the band. Yeah.
Did you, just sorry to sidebar here, but did you see George Bush the other day? They went through his reading material. You know, they released their reading books, and one of the books apparently he's reading at the moment is Camus.
Oh, Camus!
That's right. Must have been released under the Mr. Men series or something. I don't know.
He's also reading Where's Osama. He loves that one. Hey.
He loves the movie version, 10 Camus.
Oh, my God.
Well done, Gracie.
We're away.
That's it. Now I'm officially tearing up. That has taken me right back.
I think you may be tearing up, Mick, when you find out who's had a brush with you.
Oh, good Lord. You're not going to do this, are you?
That's going to be next on Get This. That's Jet here at Get This. It's our 100th show. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalier's here. Mick Molloy is
present.
Here.
Yep.
Greg Fleet is here.
Hello.
And the Bruce Gingell of the network, Peter Grace, is with us on the full bench.
There it is.
Look, hey, we often talk about that first day of programming on Triple M, then known at least in Melbourne as Eon FM.
Yeah.
What was it like in those heady days of choosing your own music? That's what they used to do.
Well, again, it was rule one, there are no rules, and rule two was find the rule book. Well, it ended up being find the rule book, because when it was rule one, there are no rules. I think everybody liked Pat Benatar at the time.
Oh,
so,
right.
Oh.
So you better get like a high rotation spandex work going on there.
Yeah, chicks with the guitars. It's an oldie with a goodie. Do love it.
Hey, we had Justin Hamilton in here on Monday, Mick, and he knew you were coming in and looking for challenges. He issued one. Let's hear it.
The challenge for Mick would be I'd like him to chow down on a Weet-Bix and then whistle the opening to Billy Joel's The Stranger.
I don't think he's ever done that in this time slot. Unfortunately, Ed has eaten all the Weet-Bix.
They were delicious.
But we do have some cornflakes, so
sure.
Let me just...
Pass them over.
This. You want to have a, you know how the
I'm
Billy
quite
Joel...
prepared. I'm not intimidated at all. So Billy Joel, should I do some Fergal Sharky? I'm quite up for some Fergal Sharky.
Here we go. All right. Very good. It's very good. Keep going.
Did I just sneeze into my mouth?
You've set the music off. What were you thinking?
The band's turned up.
We should have put plastic down before we did that one.
Thank you very much.
Let's get up onto a higher plateau if we could. Oh, no. Not the full length version. It's time for another Cockney sing-along.
Right?
I can do this. Pass the cornflakes back.
Climb up Talkback Mountain. There's no time.
Get on with it.
Hey, but we're not counting. Maybe if we had a shorter intro song, we'd be running on time for the first show since April 23.
That's the last time we ran to time on this program.
Fantastic.
We thought today we'd just play Brush with Mick.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Just anyone listening from any part of the country who's had a brush with Mick Molloy at any point, preferably a legal one. To call us up.
Oh, all the callers have just dropped off. There's about 20 up on the board a minute ago.
That's a legal one, not illegal one.
A brush with Mick.
133353 is the number to call. Right. And we've already got people.
Are you saying we should just go straight into the caller?
Yeah.
Well, this is highly unorthodox.
When I was last on the show, we had to do something else because there were no callers.
That was because your references to Camus and Harold Pinter made the question incomprehensible.
Anyone who's had a brush with Kafka, call in.
We got Joseph K on the line. Hey, Aussie cold cans of existentialism coming your way.
I shagged one of the Bronte sisters. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff we're looking for. We're just going to go straight to the
post. Hello, James. How are you? James?
There you go. See, this is why people don't do this.
No, hello, James.
G'day. No, it's Ryan.
Oh, Ryan. All right, sweet. You be Ryan. I'll be Ed. Tell me, what was your brush with Mick?
Mate, I was down at a local hotspot, The Sheath, one Saturday night, and I spotted Mick from across the bar, and I got the boys to queue up accidentally Kelly Street by Frente.
Oh.
And Mick managed to recreate the excellent dance scene with the walking stick.
Yes. Oh. Now, Mick, I know you've told this story before, but please tell it again. What happened when we did that parody of the Frente video on The Late Show?
Okay, well, the guy who I impersonated, who I think was a guitarist from that band,
yep.
I was having a beer at the George, which is a pub in Melbourne one day, and this woman came up to me and goes, hi, I'm the girlfriend of the guy you impersonated. And I said, I'm really sorry about that. She goes, no, actually, you pointed it out. He is a dick. And I dropped him.
And I think she said that she dropped him immediately after the sketch.
That's right.
Because she'd been laughing at the sketch so hard that he'd got really offended and stormed out of the boudoir.
Oh, well, relationship terminator, Mick Malloy.
That's it.
Thank you, James. Hello, Mac.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
How are you?
Good. Got a good story from Mick. He was on the Gold Coast at some stage.
Here we go.
And one of my mates ran into him at a strip club. They said, what are you doing here, Mick? And Mick's response was, oh, don't worry, I'm scouting for a location.
Yeah, for my new movie, which is about strippers.
Scouting a location to see a stripper.
The location I was actually scouting at the time was inside a woman's pants. But I found it, and it went off. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Mac.
I think we'll move on.
Hello, Joel.
Hi, boys. How you going?
Very good. Tell us your brush with Mick.
Well, it's not my brush. I'm not sure if I should say, but hold on, Mick. Okay. My mother nearly ran you over by accident.
You sure it was an accident?
I'm relieved it was by accident. Usually they mean it.
Okay.
What happened there?
Well, look, I better not say too much, but it was you were going to visit your friend John down Smith Street, I believe, and my mother owns a shop about two doors down from him.
Yes.
And I think she was leaving to go from work or something like that. And I think you were crossing the road from where that tattoo parlour is.
Yeah, that'd be right. I just got a fresh bucket of Kentucky tattoo down my chest, if I remember correctly.
I like that I'd better not say too much at the start. Yeah. And then every detail you can possibly muster.
They're cleaning it up.
This is a very dangerous segment.
Yeah. I'm loving it. Thank you, Joel. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, how you going, fellas?
Good, good. Your brush with Mick?
Yeah, I'm one of the footy buskers at the footy every weekend, and we've seen Mick walk past a couple of times, and all he gives us is that, you know, up in the nose up in the air type.
Yeah.
He never gives us any money or nothing. We always say, g'day, Mick, how you going? And it's just a...
Really?
What are you for? What do you do?
We go busking at the footy, me and a mate.
You go busking?
At the footy, I don't know if you... Well, Mick's... We've seen him.
Can I tell you the best story I know, and this involves Russell Gilbert.
I'll bet.
And outside Telstra Dome, there is a bloke who does plays the saxophone.
Mm. That would be me, yeah.
Oh, is this you? tell him your routine with Gilbert. Yeah,
Rusty's a favourite. He comes out and we have to play the Benny Hill song for him.
He plays Benny Hill song, but he doesn't even ask for it. He gives the guy a wink from about 50 metres, and as he approaches, this guy breaks in, and Gilbo just goes off, happy face. Next thing you know, there's 100 people sitting around clapping.
Many of them nude, and they can't work out what's happened to their clothes.
Right. Okay, next time you see me from 50 metres, give us a bit of baby elephant walk. And I'll be flopping a goal to Indian tin, all right?
Wow. I'll keep an eye out for you.
There you go. Good on you, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. I understand how that works. I mean, we have a guy at our local supermarket who is just stabbing at a guitar with whatever he can find.
A knife, usually.
And then it gets really aggro if you don't leave any money. And occasionally I'll just go, here's $2, but promise me this will go towards guitar lessons. Every time. but, you know.
It's a guy in Sydney who plays a piece of wood as if it's a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He's very good.
I think he plays in Shannon Knoll's band. Sure.
I like the guys who are so lazy, they just put on a tape recorder of music and then sit there. Like, I'm providing you with music.
Digging the tune.
Or Ashley Simpson.
Hello there, Dean.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very good, sir. Your brush with Mick?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I bumped into him at the front of the Eminem concert in Sydney.
Really?
Is that right?
That is actually true. I went to Eminem to see what the kids were listening to.
And there was a sea of, you know, wannabe gangsters, homeboys from, yes, from Compton, Macquarie Fields.
Yes.
And he's the only guy standing there in a black duffel coat. In a sea of wannabe homeboys.
I was there. I'll tell you, I was the guest of one Michael Gudinski.
Oh.
And we went there and watch Gudinski blow $1 million, which I believe is the fee.
For Eminem.
I think Eminem was $1 million a concert at that stage.
Jeez.
And
that's right.
But I've got to say, I quite enjoyed it. Well, I thought it was good, because this was at the time, everyone, remember the Sydney Talkback Radio was going, it's disgusting, he shouldn't be allowed in the country. I should take that rubbish somewhere else. Him and 50 Cent were the two, I reckon, that have most outraged Talkback hosts in this country. So I thought, I'm going to go and have a look at this. And you know what? Everyone's having a really good time. Yeah.
You don't hear that.
You'd sooner pay 50 cent than $1 million, though.
For an Eminem concert.
Yeah, that other guy was way cheaper.
And at the concert, was Michael Gudinski constantly leaning over and claiming that we still owe 50 grand in production costs on the Brown album?
That's right. He's trying to get me to sign something all night.
I can't work out how we owe so much money in production costs when they cost nothing to make.
I have no idea. The Brown album.
I love the idea of you just kicking it with the duffel coat crew, though, at the front of the concert.
That's right.
Is that all the brush?
Peter. Peter. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, hello.
How you going?
Not too bad, mate.
Good. Brush with Mick, sir?
I actually used to work with him back in the late 80s in a restaurant called Eliza's in Frankston.
Oh, hello. Yes. This is the old... Well, I used to work in the P Hotel Public Bar, I think. You were possibly in Eliza. I was the P Hotel Public Bar, and then the Band Room, which later became the 21st Century Dance Club.
Yes, didn't it?
Those were the days. I remember very strongly a couple of gigs stood out. One was Red Gum, and when Red Gum played, I was in the band room. I was next door to the band room, and the guy I'm working with says, mate, you want to come and have a look at this? And I go in, and everyone's sitting cross-legged on the carpet, like in a really hippie kind of way.
Right.
And I just had to go and tell them for health reasons they shouldn't be sitting on our carpet, which, you know, had an ability to move around the room.
But there wouldn't have been any trouble at a Red Gum gig.
There was no trouble. I was trying to start it by heckling these cross-legged fools.
But what about Betty Boo?
Betty Boo. I wasn't there that night. I was there for Public Image Limited when they stormed off stage. Right. They got hit under a shower of cans.
Really?
I think he left because they were empty. Had been full, he would have stayed. And the last night in particular, I remember, it was closing night and Barnsley was playing. Right. And he said, hey, you leave! Steal something!
Oh, no. Barnsley.
Meaning ashtrays or, you know, maybe an empty pot glass or something.
Yeah.
I saw five guys on the end of a 28-foot pot plant carrying a palm tree trying to get it down the stairs at the V Hotel. And I went, no one's going to miss that.
Just doing what Barnsley reckons. Is Peter still there on the line?
Mate.
Do you remember anything, any incidents you'd like to bring up?
I remember Mick. He used to work as the maitre d'. He used to greet the old ladies with the blue hair on lunchtimes.
Yeah, I think you're having a bit of a lend there, mate. We loved you guys in Eliza's. We all thought you were a little, well, gay. But... because you went out in the band room. Do you know, the first day I ever worked in the PHL Public Bar, I walk in and the police walked in, and all I heard was this chink, 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 chink. And I go out to get glasses, and I look in the drip tray at the floor, and there are machetes. knuckle dust, a couple of revolvers, and I'm going, right.
Yeah, I think, I didn't know we had pokies here.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
The amnesty is on. What a fantastic selection of brushes.
Oh, I'm so
cool.
Oh, hang on.
I'm happy with that. I'm quite happy with that.
Sorry, the haunted studio just kicked in there.
It does indeed.
I think we got it. Yes, we're going to need our end music. That's how late we're running.
Oh, we're done.
That's how it works.
What's going on here?
The show's finished.
Over, over.
You were just getting fired up. Ridiculous.
I was just about to let fly with some haymakers.
Thank you very much, Greg Fleet, for wrapping in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Grace.
Thank you, Tone, and congratulations again.
Mick Malloy.
Will you have me back for your 112th show?
112th celebration is going to go right off.
Fantastic.
And, Mick, is it true that you're going to be in intimate conversation with Carl Stefanovic this week? On the Today Show?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be sitting on my knee. It's like a ventriloquist act.
Oh, wow. In lieu of a key phrase today, I think it's just important that we remind everyone that Carl Stefanovic is a robot. Are you aware of that?
Yes, that's right.
This footage. Thanks for coming in, everybody. Thanks for calling in, everybody. See you on the 101st show tomorrow, and we'll leave you with the robot Carl Stefanovic.
Welcome back. Well, they are the quintessential item for your wardrobe. They've been around for decades and continue to evolve.
Nodding profusely.
Acid wash jeans are back.
Marble wash jeans.
I love my acid wash when I was young.
Oh, no. Marble wash jeans when I was a young fella.
And stretch I always find the most comfortable to wear.
Nodding profusely.
But we are running out of time. I mean, I could talk about jeans all day.
Marble wash jeans.
Acid.
Marble.
Bad memories.
Nodding profusely.
We'll return with more of Today in a moment.
That's it. And we'll be back tomorrow with film director Kevin Smith. And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito Van of the Year.
I'd like to hear all the nice Nickelback.